scratch about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
It was a moonlit night in old Mexico. I walked alone between some old adobe haciendas when suddenly I heard the plaintive cry of a young Mexican girl.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Sometimes I just love to chill and watch TV.
Yeah.
You know, like that. Like, I get so excited. Does anybody else, like, get excited just to get in bed and get warm and fuzzy with your blankie? Yeah.
Kevin and Bean were almost not going to send me, but I had to, you know, go under the table and do something that I'm not quite proud of.
I loathe you in ways that are unquantifiable.
And now.
After the break, wait till you see how watermelon and placenta can make you look and feel your best.
Our feature presentation.
Is that Tyra Banks?
No, that was the short-lived Kris Jenner television show.
Oh!
Very short-lived.
Yeah, wasn't it on maybe a summer?
Yeah, maybe.
That was it.
Forgot that even happened.
Yes, and our friend Mike Catherwood was some sort of a regular a contributor to that program, if I recall correctly. So, yeah, that was Kris Jenner. She did good work.
She did good work. That's why she went away really quickly.
Placenta and watermelon.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Thursday. It's the 5th of February.
Hey, Lisa.
Hey, Bean.
How are they?
Fantastic.
Good. Hey, here's a part-time job opportunity for you guys.
Okay.
It only takes a couple of hours a week, and you can make up to $13,000 a year doing this part-time job.
Been looking for it.
That seems decent for part-time, a couple hours a week, I think,
sure.
Right?
Yeah, decent enough. I'm not sure I buy it.
What do you mean? It just seems
like it's a little too good to be true. A couple hours?
Hey, these opportunities are everywhere, Kevin.
Continue.
It is, well, I mean, you would be a poop donor. I mean, that's, it's, I mean.
I'm sorry, what?
You're going to be a poop donor. That's
okay,
the
that
thing.
Doesn't stop me. Keep going.
Lisa's still in.
I'm in.
An article in the Washington Post this week talked about a clinic in Boston called Open Biome or Open Biome. I'm not sure how it's pronounced. It's a stool donation clinic. And they talk. And by the way, we've talked about fecal transplants in the past before, and they are playing the second stage of Coachella.
That's right.
Both weekends. But fecal transplants are for people who have serious intestinal conditions. They got bad bacteria in their own stomachs. So you give them other people's poop, and it's supposed to, I don't know, it teaches their poop how to behave or something. I'm not sure the science of it.
It teaches your poop how to behave. It
gives you a whole new population of bacteria.
Exactly. So if you have like Crohn's disease or something like that, this is. I seem to remember we had a story last year, didn't we, Lisa, about how they were moving away from the poop transplants, and they had like a pill or something, didn't we have? Didn't we find out that there's a better way to do it, like you swallow a pill now instead of this?
Yeah.
Well, apparently that's not widespread enough. So here's this company in Boston, and the reason they wrote this article and what I found fascinating about it is it's incredibly difficult to be approved as a poop donor.
Mm.
It is easier to get into Harvard than it is to be a poop donor in terms of the percentage of people who apply that are accepted. Fewer than 4% of people who apply are accepted.
How many people apply?
Well, it doesn't say that, but you have to be super, super duper healthy. The Washington Post says your feces needs to be at the top of its class. You need valedictorian poop.
Top of its game.
They have male and female donors, so you guys are all included. They tend to be highly educated students or young professionals with an average age of 26. Now, here's what's really keeping most people out is you have to be athletic and health conscious with an average BMI of 23.8.
Oh.
I don't know anything about BMIs. I think mine's about 50.
No, yours is not.
23.8 is within the normal.
I had a great BMI last night.
Well, then you're perfect for the poop transplant. Is that super low, Lisa?
No, it's not.
It's in the normal range, right?
Like for women, I think over 25 is when you're considered overweight.
What is BMI?
Body mass index.
Okay.
So that's kind of average.
Donors are encouraged to have a healthy, well-balanced diet and, most importantly, eat lots of fiber to keep the poop moving through the bowels and saving lives. The downside for me and maybe for a lot of people, although people seem to be applying, is that you have to go to the clinic 4 times a week for regular drop-offs.
Oh, they don't have a pickup service?
They don't.
I need a pickup and I need it right now.
Do you have to go when you have to go? Is that how it works?
Well,
either that or you go wait.
I assume you do, yeah.
I'm coming in hot. The door is open.
The door is open. Clear the hallway.
I mean, I'll make it.
You guys don't understand. I really have to donate.
Call from a mile away. Oh, sorry. Not coming.
All right. Maybe tomorrow. I'll try again tomorrow. Have some fiber for dinner.
That's a terrible story.
Anyway. Well, I mean, again.
But the payoff is big.
Yeah. A couple. I mean, I didn't lie. It's a couple hours a week. $13,000 a year. You just you got to stay healthy. And you got to be willing to go, you know, only use their bathroom, I guess. So,
can you imagine getting turned down for that? Like, you apply and they say no.
Yeah. Well,
that
I mean,
must be a low
that's
point.
96% of the people, though, that apply.
I know, but I'm saying, aren't there some things where you should just, it feels like everybody should be able to do it? They're right. Not elitist or whatever, but
right.
Apparently they have to be elitist because they need the good poo.
Exactly.
Huh.
So there you go. Good times.
All right.
All right. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Everybody knows what you're talking about.
That's right. It's a good show today. Dr. Drew's on the program.
Mm-hmm.
We also have Jeff Ross, comedian.
Love him.
Friend of the show stopping by. Very excited about that. Apparently they're doing a roast of Justin Bieber on Comedy Central.
That's going to be great.
Can't wait to
plenty of material.
Talk to him about that. Jim Rome talks sports. Mm-hmm. We have Grammy contest tickets for Hozier at the Grammy Museum, and also you qualify for that trip to Ireland.
Right.
That's coming up this morning, and the entire band Incubus will be here.
Wow.
Playing and talking about a brand new Incubus song.
So
Lisa,
excited.
I bet you washed your hair this morning.
I washed everything twice.
You got to be ready for Brandon. You never know when you're finally going to catch his eye.
That's right.
We will take a break and come back with the Showbiz Beat next. 106.7 K-Rock is
K-Rock. What's happening? Did the song just end and no one did anything?
No, here's what happened, oddly enough. Chip, the song ended. Mm-hmm. She turned your mic on and my mic on. Said nothing, though.
Mm-hmm.
Said nothing to anyone.
So
our
no
mics
one knew?
Are on and we don't know what's going on. So that's good. I think that went well. I feel like that's a good start. Mm-hmm. Are you in a fog of a schedule right now?
That must be it, Chip, right? Hey, look, Ralph Garman came back for this.
Hey, Ralph Garman.
Hello.
How you feeling?
Not good.
Mm.
What do you think you have?
I shouldn't be here.
Mm.
You know, I realized this morning I was driving in. Bean has us all conditioned.
Yes.
Can we at least mic on?
Yes, too? It's so true.
What are you talking about? What do I have to do with
the
this?
Pressure. Oh,
Bean has us conditioned that out of fear of him accusing you of not really being sick.
Yes.
Or some snarky comment or some email that goes out to everyone, he will make you come back before you really should.
You mean the one that said, have fun in Vegas?
Yeah.
That one?
Yeah.
Well, come on. That was Kevin. And it was 50-50 chance he really was.
No, that was Lisa.
It
was to Lisa, actually. And he'll pressure you into coming back to work before you really should. Because you live in the fear of being mocked and accused of not really being sick.
I got to back him on this one, Bean.
Well, it
absolutely
sounds like it's working
true.
Then, and I think it's to the benefit of the listeners that as many of us as possible are here on the show at the same time.
It's not good when you come in and you're still coughing your sickness on people.
No, but Ralph will tell you he's
Bean,
not contagious.
Bean doesn't care about that. He doesn't work here.
Yeah, he's not.
Why should he care about who comes in or doesn't come in? But everyone else, when you say you're sick, invariably you get an email from them saying, I'm sorry to hear that. I hope you feel better.
Yeah.
Except for one guy.
Yeah.
Who's like, well, have a good time with your jewel collection or something. They'll make up some snarky random comment accusing you of being a liar.
Well,
instead
forgive
of being sick.
Me for caring too much about the show and about the listeners.
And
forgive
not
me
enough
for that.
About your coworkers.
Yeah.
Exactly. But see, the listeners are disappointed, Ralph, when they tune in and you're not here.
But it's just
a
radio show.
You want to break hearts?
They'll get over it.
They will live.
Right.
As opposed
to me leaving pieces of lung around the studio.
It is weird that you get the idea that Bean's making a joke, but there's really some distrust.
No, there's an undercurrent.
Oh, yeah.
Always.
There's some weird. He got burned at some point in his life, and he just never quite got over it.
I just believe in showing up for work. That's all.
Yeah. Yeah. He's the guy that never goes anywhere.
When you work from your house, it's easy to show up to work because you just have to wake up.
So you're saying the driving in is a burden
dressed,
for you?
The getting dressed, the driving in. It's a big deal. When you don't feel good, that is the difference between coming to work and not coming to work.
Well, I'm not sure what the conclusion here is, but I'm glad you're feeling better, Ralph, and I'm glad you're here today, and the listeners are glad, too.
I'm glad you're feeling better as well, Ralph, in contrast to what you just said.
All right. You know who's not feeling better?
Who?
Bobby Christina Brown.
I know.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
I think she's faking.
I'm sure you do.
I think she should get up. She should sing or whatever she does.
By all accounts, she is clinging to life. Reportedly, she is brain dead.
Oh, I hadn't heard that.
Yeah,
that's ugly.
That's the latest report coming from the Emory University Hospital in Atlanta, where she is currently in a medically induced coma.
Was it a overdose?
They say it was a combination of a drug overdose as well as her being underwater in the bathtub face down for a period of time that caused a lack of oxygen to the brain.
Hmm.
Her chances of her condition are improving are growing more and more remote with each passing day. And a friend of the family told reporters yesterday, it's now a matter of when the family wants to let go. Apparently, they take her off the respirator. That would be the end.
That's rough.
Tragic, tragic end to a 21-year-old girl's life. And having just lost her mother just almost a year to the day previously in the same way, it's very, very sad.
Bean just heard she's in Vegas. That's what he just heard.
She stopped faking and picking whatever job she has. Bruce Jenner has picked his transition name, if you believe Star Magazine.
And I do.
The former Olympian who is making his transition from man to woman wants to be called. Any guesses as to what he wants his woman name to be, his female name?
Anything but Chris?
It's not Chris, that's for sure, yeah.
I'm gonna say Maura.
From Transparent.
Yes, that's Jeffrey Tambor's character's name on Transparent. It's
like
pretty hot right now.
Bonnie? Because it's a B?
Bonnie? It is a B name, Lisa.
It's a B?
It is a B name, but it's not Bonnie.
Okay.
Brittany?
Is it, it's not Brittany.
Is it Beatrice?
That's a good guess.
If he was transitioning into an 85-year-old woman, it would be a good guess. But he's only 65.
All right. So it's a female name that begins with B.
Yes.
Is it a common name?
That's right, Lisa. That's the B sound.
Brindle?
What was your guess?
Brindle?
Brindle. Brindle? How's that even a guess?
Why is
that's a color.
Of any B
names? Are you out of B names already?
Gosh, how can none of us think of any B names here? Is it
how about Betty
Barbara?
I mean, come on,
is
there's
it Barbara?
A lot of bees.
Oh, Barbara.
How about Barbara?
It's not Barbara, but I'm saying that's certainly a guess you could make before Brindle.
What's the second letter?
E.
E. B E. Beverly.
No.
Oh.
Betty.
Not Betty either.
Good one.
No, I'm out.
Third letter.
Brindle?
Third letter. Yeah, Brindle was the answer of the day.
L.
L. Third letter. Brell?
No, there's no R, Kevin.
Oh, Bell?
Bell?
Bella.
Just Bell?
Bella.
Is it Bell or Bella?
Aren't you glad you came back, Ralph?
He's going to die. He can't breathe. We're losing Garvin.
Oh, I'm not in the condition to take that.
All right.
Brell?
Bella.
It's Belinda.
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 We never would have gotten to that.
No, you would not. I could have given you the next four letters. And
Belinda.
Bro.
Oh, come on. That wasn't as bad as Lisa's.
I gave you B-E-L and you said Brel.
Right.
That was as bad as Lisa's.
So the R is silent. That's what you're saying.
All right. Today's celebrity birthdays. Darren Criss from Glee is 28 years old today. Kevin's boyfriend, Cristiano Ronaldo, is 30 years old.
My boyfriend, man.
Singer Bobby Brown is 46 years old. Actor Michael Sheen, also 46 today. Duff McKagan is 51. Actress Laura Linney is also 51 years old today. Jennifer Jason Leigh, the actress, is 53. Tim Meadows, formerly of Saturday Night Live, he was the ladies' man, 54. And actor, director, writer, legend Christopher Guest is 67 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Talking sports with our friend Jim Rome later this morning. Also, the Roastmaster General Jeff Ross will be here, and new music and a visit from the band Incubus in about 30, 40 minutes or so from right now on the Kevin Beach. We're going to world premiere a brand new song called Absolution Calling, if I recall correctly, from Brandon's tweet. That's the name of the song. First, though, went down a YouTube rabbit hole with my new favorite person on the internet, Kevin.
Uh-oh.
Well,
it's just you start one place and then you end up so far from that place you have no idea what's going on.
Well, I started with one video. He is the chief pastor at the Atla World Missionary Church on 123rd Street in New York City. That stands, by the way, for All the Land Anointed Holy.
Okay.
Here's the guy I'm talking about.
I'm James David Manning, and this is the Manning Report, where the N-word is welcome.
Okay, so there's my man. He's already a little different from most preachers.
Let me just ask one question. How did you get to that guy?
I don't know.
To this video.
I don't know how it started.
Just ended up there. Okay.
But that's how YouTube is, right? He is, among other things, he's famous for being no friend of the president.
I'm convinced that anybody that voted for Obama received the mark of the beast, or anybody that even supports Obama. Maybe you didn't vote for him, but you supported. I believe you got the mark of the beast.
So you got the mark of the beast.
Oh, man.
By the way, he also says that when he is sitting at God's right hand, he hopes that he has the privilege of being able to personally send Barack Obama to hell. That's his goal. That's what he's looking forward to when he dies.
This guy sounds like a cartoon.
How dare you? He's my favorite minister ever. He's got no time for the gays. Don't get him started on the gays.
He believes
that the gays. I think he might have been the guy behind Starbucks putting semen in coffee for some reason. Remember that when that happened a few months ago? I think he might have started that.
Yeah.
But he also he believes that the gays should be stoned to death. Which seems unreasonable to me. I don't know about you. I don't want to speak for you. He also thinks that that gay men, the worst thing that they're doing is they're stealing black men from black women. So that's another bad thing that the gays are doing.
What is going on?
All of that is crazy talk from Pastor Manning. But there's a new video that came out this week, and I have no idea what is going on. Like, what is the jump-off point for this theory that he's got? He's got a whole series of YouTube speeches that he gives, in addition to preaching live in front of a congregation each week. But tell me what you think he's talking about here.
We have a young girl in our church. We have several young girls in our church. They want to be dancers, some of them. They want to be musicians, others of them. And we're talking about young girls in the age from 6 to 10 years of age. And I want people to hear this so they can understand that you and I are not lunatics. We're not haters. We're not filled with evil. They need to know that these young girls who, if we don't stand like you and I standing and preach, they can be led or influenced to cut off their breasts once they get into puberty.
What?
Okay.
What?
Okay. Okay.
Is he talking about breast reduction?
He's talking about surgery? Young girls that want to somehow, for some reason, want to cut off their breasts. Now, are you aware of this being a thing that's happening?
No.
No, but I think most dancers have relatively small breasts.
Right. Now, that's what I thought first, too. Because he mentioned dancers, I thought, well, maybe he's talking about girls who their boobs get in the way, so they wish they were smaller, and maybe that's a weird extreme thing that somebody would try to do. But then he also mentioned musicians, which doesn't make any sense, because your breasts don't get in your way at all. So what's he talking about with women cutting off their breasts? I don't know.
They can be led to have operations. Like Justin Bieber, they can think that the best choice for their life is to cut off their breasts.
Okay, now
wait a minute. You're telling me that he thinks Justin Bieber used to have boobs?
Doesn't it sound like that? Doesn't it sound like he thinks that Justin Bieber is a girl who cut off her breasts because she wanted to be a musician? What do you think?
I'm confused, to be honest.
They can be led to have operations like Justin Bieber. They can think that the best choice for their life is to cut off their breasts.
What can he possibly...
Like Justin Bieber.
What can he possibly be thinking?
Well, let's try the most obvious, which is, did Justin Bieber cut off his breasts?
And I said Bieber, that was an accident.
I am unaware of that, if that happened.
Same.
It seems weird that, he's been popular since he was, 13 years old or 14 years old? I feel like we would have heard about that.
Okay, all right, so that's not it.
Let's hear more from Pastor Manning.
And go through this period that's so pervasive in television and everywhere else. And then by the time they reach the age of 20 years old, they look and say, I wish I had never cut off my breast.
Now, maybe he's talking about the fact that Justin Bieber, now he's 21 or something, and now he's, going on Ellen and talking about how he made a lot of mistakes, and that wasn't him, and he's just acting out, and now it's time to set it straight. Maybe this is his awakening.
But when did you ever hear anything about cutting off breasts, though? That's the thing that seems like maybe it's a little out there.
Yeah, I'm still confused where that came from.
I wish I had never mutilated my flesh. I wish I'd never cut off my penis.
What? Whoa! Now who's cutting off their penises?
The 6 to 10 year old girls.
Where are these? Where are all these people that are getting these radical surgeries that don't make the news? Who's cutting off body parts, Pastor?
Do you have any idea how many people follow this guy?
I don't.
Because it seems like you would listen to that and then stand up and go, well, that was nuts, and leave, and leave forever.
Apparently he has been a minister for some 30 years or so, and he does seem to have a following. But
wow.
I'm for the life of me, I'm trying to figure out, well, maybe there's some more coming up.
I wish I had never done that. I was just young, and the people in the church or the people in the media said or gave the impression that I had a right to choose any kind of sexual orientation that I wanted to choose, and so I cut off my penis.
Oh, so is he...
Wait. He's saying sex reassignment surgery, right? He's talking about...
Is that what he's talking about?
I think.
Yes.
Because
Justin Bieber used to be a girl?
Well, then they'd have to add a penis.
Boy,
now
wait,
I'm confused. I need some cliff notes or something.
Oh, I cut off my breast. But now I'm 20 years old, and I wish that I had not done that. I will not, as a pastor, allow that to be said by any child that's under my leadership or under the sound of my voice.
Okay, good.
I will chase every sodomite. I would chase every lesbo. I would chase every political leader with the power of God, with the chariots of fire.
Yes.
That these children be not misled by people in congregations and people in business or in politics like Obama.
Oh,
that
Obama.
That are influencing these children to throw their lives away the way Justin Bieber threw his life away.
By the way, you guys remember that part in the State of the Union when President Obama said the young people should start throwing their lives away by cutting off body parts, right? He was very much for that.
This doesn't even make sense. I mean, most of the time, people who have ridiculous views, at least they can explain somewhat what they are.
There's some threat of reason.
Yeah, at least you know what led them to that conclusion,
right.
Even if it's bat-ass crazy. This guy, it's like talking to Don King. All right, I think he's almost done.
And then 20 years old can't grow their breasts back.
Well, no.
And 20 years old can't grow their penis back. People need to wake the hell up and see what's going on in our world. They need to understand just how diabolical this devil and evil spirit is.
There you go, ladies and gentlemen. There's the message of the day from Pastor James David Panning of the Atla World Missionary Church. And I feel good about hearing that.
Wow, you're bringing the crazy extra hard today, huh?
And now it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
B.E.
Beverly.
No.
No, I'm out.
L.
L, third letter. Brell?
No, there's no R, Kevin.
Oh. Aren't you glad you came back, though?
He's going to die.
Oh, I'm not in the condition to take that.
All right.
Brell?
That was A Moment with Kevin.
In Kevin's defense, there are a lot of words where the R is silent, right?
Thank you. Thank you, Pete.
Look at February, for instance.
Thank you, Breen.
But if the R is silent, then you don't pronounce it.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. That's the word either. I did the best I could for you on short notice. Ah, good time. 6:54. Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat. Brand new music from the band Incubus, and they'll be here to world premiere it for us coming up soon here on K-Rock. What's going on, Ralph?
Congratulations to Johnny Depp and Amber Heard. They're officially man and wife.
Yay!
Has been confirmed by all sorts of people that they indeed tied the knot in their Los Angeles home on Tuesday. But there will be a bigger ceremony taking place this weekend on Johnny's private island in the Bahamas. You know, you want to have a bigger party on your private island sometimes.
Sure, sure.
So, congratulations to those
guys. I don't think that's right. I think she married the wrong man.
It'll never last. You know Hollywood marriages.
I'm next, Amber.
We got to get Nick on the phone. We got to check in on our boy and see how he's doing.
See how he's doing. You know, I mentioned over the holidays I filmed a movie with Johnny. We spent some time together.
Oh, right.
And Amber was also on the set. And I got to tell you, they sure seem like a great couple.
Yeah.
They sure seem very happy together.
To everybody but Nick.
Yeah. So I'm not predicting doom and gloom like Nick is for some reason. I think they're going to make it.
Well, Amber doesn't know yet that she's meant to be with K-Rock listener Nick.
Oh,
only he knows.
I see. Well, that makes sense. Nice thing about being Jimmy Fallon is, first of all, you get to sing all the time on your show, whether people want to hear that or not.
And man, do you enjoy that about you.
Boy, does he sing a lot.
Boy, do you think that you are a singer and you should be up there with all the major musicians who come on your show. You like to do duets with them a lot. That's for sure.
Yeah.
So that's one upside.
Right.
Another upside is you can sort of just... You can just create whatever wish fulfillment scenarios you want to. Like, for example, Fallon is a huge, huge fan of Saved by the Bell, as many of us were growing up. Diehard Saved by the Bell fan. And he's had them on from time to time, all the members, and he's been talking about this reunion that he's going to do for some time. Well, it came to fruition last night on the Jimmy Fallon Tonight Show. He did a sketch where he brought together the entire cast, well, almost the entire cast of Saved by the Bell. Mark Paul Goster was there, Tiffany Thiessen, Elizabeth Berkley, Mario Lopez, Dennis Haskins, Mr. Wow. Belding. He stopped by. They did a sketch where Jimmy said that he went to high school in California. He remembers it if it was yesterday, and then they did a flashback.
Uh-huh.
And there everybody was, except for Screech. Screech was not involved in the mix.
Hmm.
Wonder why. Maybe people didn't want to get stabbed. And Lisa Turtle, who also apparently is insane, she was not invited to the reunion as well. But it was very entertaining, and there were lots of references to classic Saved by the Bell episodes. And I loved it when Mark Paul did his famous timeout. As Zach, he would do timeout where everybody would freeze and he would step outside the scene and talk directly to the audience at home.
Right.
And in this particular episode, he finds out that he's knocked up his girlfriend, Kelly Kapowski. So he had to have a timeout and address the audience.
Well, on the downside, I'll probably be grounded for life. But on the plus side, I got Kelly Kapowski pregnant.
Yeah, that's true. Well done, Jack. Crowd went nuts. So you can find that online. It's very entertaining. It's a long sketch, like 8 minutes, but it's very funny.
It's funny you should bring that up about Fallon. I was thinking the same thing this week when he had he did his Neil Young character on The Tonight Show, where he came out dressed like Neil Young and started singing a song.
With Neil.
And then Neil Young comes out and sings like the last minute of it. And I'm thinking, I would so much rather see Neil Young sing a song.
Yeah.
Than 90% of it be Jimmy Fallon pretending to be Neil Young and then have Neil Young come out.
For the Super Bowl show, he did. There was an a cappella "We Are the Champions."
Yeah,
that they did with the Roots singing like rhythm backgrounds. And Christina Aguilera was on it, and
Ariana Grande,
yeah, right. And Carrie Underwood. I mean, just amazing voices. But no one is more front and center than Jimmy. Just
nope, he's lead singer on
there.
That thing.
Yep.
And everybody else is sort of lost in the moment of singing.
Mm-hmm.
He's very painfully aware how great it is he's on TV singing right now.
Yes.
He really loves that about him.
He works that camera.
Man, oh man.
No doubt about it.
Take it easy.
Yeah. Hey, I'm going to give you a heads up. Tomorrow night at 10 p.m. at the Improv on Melrose, Hollywood Babylon returns to the stage. Kevin Smith and I will be on stage talking about many, many things. Including my favorite geek story of the week, which is the guy who cut off his nose so he'd look more like Red Skull. That's my favorite story of the week, I think. It is the Improv on Melrose in West Hollywood, 10 p.m. tomorrow night. You can go to improv.com to get more information and to get tickets to see me and Kevin Smith in Hollywood Babylon.
No!
Jeff Garlin will be there.
Doesn't sound like it.
Today's celebrity birthdays, actor, director, legend, Christopher Guest, 67 years old today. Tim Meadows turns 54. Jennifer Jason Leigh is 53. Laura Linney, very lovely and talented actress, is 51, as is guitarist Duff McKagan. Michael Sheen, he is 46 years old. Bobby Brown also turns 46 today. Cristiano Ronaldo is 30 years old. Darren Criss of Glee fame is 28. And another soccer player, Neymar.
Yeah, much better one.
Neymar is 23 years old today.
Thank you, Ralph.
He just has one name, Neymar does?
He goes by Neymar Jr.
He's Neymar Jr. His dad
Silva,
was Neymar. Neymar
Da Silva Senior? De... I don't know.
But he just has one name.
Santos. He goes by Neymar, yeah.
Because that's all you need.
Yeah.
When you're Neymar.
He's a superstar.
Yeah, sure he is. And he's also the Submariner. He's also a superhero. So he's got that going for him.
I don't know anything about that.
I don't know anything about soccer. So now we're even. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
All right, we have tickets for you for the Grammys, for the pre-Grammy party with Hozier.
Yeah.
And you also qualify for that trip to Ireland to see Hozier. If you want to call now at 1-800-520-1067, we'll play a game for that next.
Hey, how about K-Rock's World Tour 2015 destination number 4? It's Hozier at Slane Castle in Ireland. Just checking, Kevin. It is or is not a real castle?
Is a real castle.
All right. You can listen to K-Rock all week. Hey, wait, we're doing this right now
yes.
for a chance to win your way into the official K-Rock pre-Grammy party with Hozier. That's this Friday night at the Grammy Museum in L.A. Live. We're doing it right now with contestants on the line with a game that we like to call Total Recall.
Total Recall, that's the game that we play. If you want tickets to the pre-Grammy party, oh yeah. Total Recall, pre-Grammy party, that's what you. Win. All you have to do is recall. Oh,
This is a tough game. Look, I would suck at all the games we play on the show. This one in particular, man, because the clock is running. You only have 10 seconds. Kevin is going to be giving you a category. You have to name five items in that category in 10 seconds. And just let them fly, man. There are no wrong answers. Just keep going until you get five. And if you're right, you go into the drawing to win the prize. Who is our first contestant, Kevin?
Very, very loosely tied to the Grammys. The first one is Jimmy. Hi there.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, Jimmy. Good luck. Thanks for listening and for calling. Listen up. Here's Kevin with your category, sir.
All right. One of the nominees for Song of the Year is Hozier for Take Me to Church. That song was featured in a TV commercial when NBA superstar LeBron James returned to the Cleveland Cavaliers. In 10 seconds, name five other NBA superstars. Go.
Kobe Bryant, Kevin Durant, Russell Westbrook, Derrick Rose. Amari Stoudemire.
Look at that, ladies and gentlemen. Well done, sir.
Nicely done.
Got ourselves an NBA fan. You are in the drawing, Jimmy. Excellent contestant, sir.
All right, let's go to Denise. Hi there.
Hi there.
Hi. All right, you ready for your question?
Yes, please.
All right, Coldplay is nominated for their song Sky Full of Stars for Best Pop Duo Group Performance. Your question in 10 seconds, name five other bands from England. Go.
The Beatles, The Who, I've got nothing.
Coldplay. I know it's tough, but now you're going to all day long be going, what about Oasis? What about the Rolling Stones? What about the Arctic Monkeys? There's so many.
Can you lick Lisa now?
Radiohead. Nope, sorry.
Can lick Lisa on your own time, I think.
Thank you.
Thank you for calling, Denise. We appreciate it.
All right, let's go to Stacy in Hacienda Heights. Hi, Stacy.
Good morning, Kevin and Bean. Hi, Lisa May.
Hello.
See, this is why this game is tough, because poor Denise, I bet if the clock wasn't on, if the pressure wasn't on, she could name 50 bands from Britain.
Yeah, agreed.
But it's tough.
Look, I'm saying up front, I would not do well at this either.
No.
All right, Stacey, we're pulling for you, my dear. Good luck. Listen up.
All right.
The Grammy Awards are on CBS this Sunday night. In 10 seconds, name five other TV shows that are on CBS. Go.
How I Met Your Mother, Mother, Soccer.
Yes.
And The Big Bang Theory.
Oh, you did really well. 4 out of 5. I'm sorry. Not quite in time, though.
I think it was Mom, too. I don't think it's Mother. But
I think we gave it to her anyway.
Yeah. Okay.
But yeah, there's Elementary, there's Y5O, NCIS, Person of Interest, Scorpion, 60 Minutes. But again, super easy when you're not the one who's under the gun.
That clock just drives you nuts, doesn't it?
It does.
It makes you lose all concentration. All right, let's go to Vanessa in Costa Mesa. Hi there.
Hello.
Hey, Vanessa, how have you been doing listening on the phone so far today?
I'm a little nervous.
Okay. Little nervous. Well, good luck. So far, only Jimmy is in the drawing. He's our winner if we don't get another contestant. So good luck to you. Here's Kevin.
Here's your question. In the best comedy category, here are the nominees. Patton Oswalt, Sarah Silverman, Louis C.K., Jim Gaffigan, and Weird Al. In 10 seconds, name five other comedians. Go.
Okay. Dane Cook, Jim Jeffries, Chelsea Handler, and Jerry Seinfeld.
That's four.
One more.
Oh. And by the way, Dane Cook, isn't that questionable?
Yeah.
We were going to give it to her.
If that's the first comedian you think of, we got bigger problems than this game, my dear.
I apologize.
Thank you for calling. We have time for one more contestant. By the way, we lost Jimmy. Jimmy hung up or something.
Oh, he was good.
So, Jimmy, please do call back. You are still in the running to be America's Next Top Model.
I don't believe that's what it is.
I mean to win the thing with the thing.
Right. All right. Let's go to Mark. Hi there.
Hey. Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good.
Welcome to Total Recall. You ready for your question?
I'm ready.
All right. The best rap album nominees are Iggy Azalea, Childish Gambino, Common, Wiz Khalifa, Schoolboy Q, and Eminem. In 10 seconds, name five Eminem songs. Go.
Hold on. I'm totally blanking on this. Never mind.
But let's all enjoy the clock anyway.
All right.
Not an Eminem fan, no Rap God or Stan, Lose Yourself, Berserk Without Me. Sorry, but thank you for playing anyway. We appreciate you listening. All right, so we lost Jimmy.
We lost the winner.
But it sounds to me like he is going to be...
Jimmy's on line four.
Oh, he's back. Fantastic.
Jimmy's on line four. Congratulations, Jimmy.
Hey, thank you, guys.
You did it. You're going to see Hozier pre-Grammy party Friday night, and then you're qualified to see them in Ireland as well.
All right.
Thanks for playing the game and for calling back, even.
Oh!
Brand new Incubus on the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ called Absolution Calling. It is 7:24, and the guys from Incubus are in the studio with us.
Come on with the come on, you guys.
Hey, hi, guys.
Right. Although they were requesting a really good radio voice. Can you come out of that song again, Kevin? Can you hear what that really is supposed to sound like?
I thought that was good.
I don't really.
Okay, right, you're being nice then. Really,
you're very nice.
You're a professional. It's cool.
All right, I have to ask. We got a lot of business we want to cover with Incubus. We're so glad to see you. Happy New Year, you guys. First of all, we love you. Great to see you again. Ben is not here yet. And I heard in traffic, then I heard explosive diarrhea. Which is it? What's
the
really
ladder.
Happening with Ben?
It's definitely
it's the latter. He's not coming then, is he?
It's both.
Who's going to
both? Traffic? No.
Explosive
diarrhea. Which one of you guys are going to shake his hand because he's got
no one.
I heard he taped
I heard he taped the bottom of his pants shit.
have any of you guys caught the flu or whatever it is that's going around that's getting everybody sick?
I did.
You did?
This is Brandon. I got it. It
was Brandon.
I was hallucinating. I was like,
I gotta say, Brandon was really effective in not giving it to anyone.
Oh, that's nice.
I stayed away. Holed up like a. You know, guys are like the worst at being sick. I was alone in my house with like all the doors locked, and friends of mine were like, "Dude, you need help." I'm like,
"You can get alone." You became a golem. Quarantined yourself,
Brandon. What is going on in your life that you felt you needed to have the doors locked? Though, I mean, what is it you think's going to happen?
I am that concerned with public health.
Okay. Yeah. Well, let's talk about
walking around in a night. Equal dream
exactly. And private health too.
Sure. Yes, let's health. Talk about Absolution Calling. That's a very fancy name for a pop song. Mm. If you don't mind me asking, it sounds awfully popey. Can you tell us what it what it's all about?
I'm sorry. Did you say popey?
It sounds popey. Isn't the Pope isn't he the one who gives the absolution?
Would that be pertaining to the papacy?
Yes, that's what I'm talking about.
That's a good question.
Pontiff like is what I'm referring to. So what can you guys tell us about Absolution Calling?
You know, I was trying to pontificate on a couple of points.
Nice. There you go.
So that explains all of it. You know, I have a penchant for writing lyrics that occasionally can get, what's the word, like heavy?
Papal?
I try not to write popey lyrics.
So you go for non-pope.
Yeah. And then sometimes they tend to get a tad esoteric every once in a while, and sometimes some of my titles will break through.
Sure.
And sometimes Michael will be like, but what about this title that's a little bit more like accessible.
The one that doesn't go in papal section in the
sure. Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's just look, we just played that song for the first time anywhere ever on the radio, and we were talking to you guys, so we didn't get a thank you. We didn't get a chance to listen to the lyrics, but I'm just wondering if based on the title, if it involves some sort of forgiveness or apology or something.
You know, not necessarily. It was more like I think I was referring more to the part or the definition in that word where you are sort of relieved of all sort of consequences and duties of sorts. So it's like a relief of sorts.
I'm going to have to go back and listen to this later. I don't
yeah. Know. Oh, so for everyone out there, if you're interested, I think there's going to be a lyric video popping up online like any minute.
Fantastic.
So all the lyrics
good.
Will flash before you, shiny and gold.
I like those because I don't know if it's just a guy thing, but I never know. I hear a song 1,000 times and don't know the lyrics to it.
You make up your own
kiss
stuff.
This fly.
Yeah, exactly. how did this song come together? What was the birthing process of this one? Where did it begin?
It started with a bass riff, I think.
We were actually Brandon was in where were you? You were
in, I think I was in
Venice
Bali.
Or something. Bali, yes. You were
sure, Venice or
in
Bali.
A land in a land far away.
Right.
We were actually Brandon had to leave to go on this trip and we were like, okay, let's just try to make magic, you know, studio magicry while you're gone.
Mm-hmm.
And so we started sending him ideas just so we were in the studio, all the other four of us were jamming, and that came out of just all of us were in the studio just kind of improvising, and it was like, oh wait, what's that right there? Oh cool. And it just evolved.
Is that how you write most songs? It's just get together and
some
jam.
They wait for me to leave and then,
yeah.
And then
Brandon's gone, let's go.
Now we can finally play it. No,
it was something like that, but it was
he's sick, it worked.
Yeah. We explore all the angles.
Yeah, we sometimes it happens that way, other times it's different, but
is it
that particular time was that way.
Is it a difficult process or can it be a difficult?
It can be, but most of it's actually I think that all of the songs that you guys have played here on K-Rock, pretty much all of those happened really easily for some reason. Don't know why.
There was a flow to much of what has been sort of like accepted publicly.
Yeah, don't know why.
But I will say, though, that we have a song called Dig that you guys have played before from a couple of records ago, and that was an exceedingly difficult song to
Not
write.
Easy.
was not easy, but it like turned out really well, you know.
What's the song that you guys are the most proud of that people don't seem to be responding to? Because there's got to be occasionally you have to go, hey, what about this one?
Just going to say none of them.
Okay. No, there's a track. It's a Hanukkah track we gave you guys.
There you go. Hey, man.
So that's
people
that's
just
on us.
Don't like it for some reason. I don't
know. We are
didn't get much play.
We are talking to 4/5 of the band Incubus here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Shout out, Ben.
Ben
just world premiered the brand new song "Absolution Calling," which we're going to be playing again for you in a minute. We want to welcome people listening from around the country, Incubus fans who we've been hearing from all week long, who couldn't wait for this moment. And Jose, by the way, tweeted this morning how angry he was at us that he had to get up at that time of day to come play a record on the radio.
I was only coming for Kevin and Bean breakfast burritos.
Oh,
I don't
no.
even have here. I'm very upset.
Wow. That's a giant mistake on our part.
Let's play the song again and more with our friends in Incubus when we return right after this on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
Brand new Incubus on the world famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ called Absolution Calling. That song is awesome.
It does sound good, you guys.
Really good.
Thank you.
Where'd you record that? Do you guys have your own studio?
We're recording at a studio in Santa Monica, California.
Nice. A lot of stuff to talk with the band Incubus here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Again, just world premiered the song. That will be available when for people to purchase?
That song is.
We don't know.
We just talked
I guess
about
now.
It.
I don't know. Maybe.
I have the info. Tomorrow on iTunes.
Okay.
Tomorrow.
Great.
You
on
can
iTunes.
Get that song. Now, yes, it's song. Part of
correct.
An EP.
Yes.
And how many songs are on that? Five?
There are four songs.
Four songs. Yeah. And then you're going to put out another EP.
Yes.
Something like that.
please explain.
What's happening?
We, we've always made albums. We've mm-hmm. always done like the 10 or more thing. And we kind of grew up with that, like, you know, many of us in the world. But. I think that people sort of under 30 don't really have that in their
yeah.
consciousness anymore, and that's fine. So,
is that fine, Brandon?
I don't know. I mean, I think I could feel myself getting older when I'm like, what about side B?
Well, I only ask from an artistic standpoint, is there something to be said for an album? Is there something to be said for a story that is told over the course of X number of songs?
I think so. And so this was our way of doing that. So actually, I hope it's okay that I say this, but the EP is called Trust Fall, Side A.
Trust Fall, Side A. Okay.
Side
okay.
B will come out later in the year.
It'll complete the story later.
Yeah. So we're still kind of – we're having our cake and eating it.
Okay. So if we listen to the first four songs, is there going to be a question that we need answered or what's
yeah, –
how does it lead
like,
up?
You'll be like, what the –
okay.
Nice.
I was very nervous.
I was reaching for the button.
Yeah, the button was about to get
I was reaching because he was really holding it.
That was good, Jose.
Very well done, sir. Very well done.
Yeah, we're doing this really fun thing right now where we're just writing songs and recording them and then releasing them. Like as we finish
them. We're going to see what happens.
And we don't really know what's going to happen. It's kind of exciting. And the chaos that comes along with that is exhilarating.
Is it harder to write songs as a known quantity? As people know Incubus or love Incubus, they sort of have expectations. Is it more difficult? Is it more pressure?
We just try to ignore that part of it, actually. I think we just try to get in a room and make music that makes us happy. And it sounds so corny, but that's really all we've ever done as a band, to try and make music that gets us excited and hopefully other people like it too. And we're also in this sort of advanced information age where we can just put things out. We can record them and just put them out immediately. And that's why when you asked us a little while ago when the EP was coming out, none of us actually knew that the date was because
it's
changing
the date again?
Constantly.
It's March 24th.
March 24th.
That sounds like a good date.
You can pre-order the EP, I think,
yes.
Jose.
Tomorrow?
No, that's the song.
The pre-order starts February 10th.
All right, February 10th.
All right. That's awesome. Okay.
Right. He told me.
It's a question mark, though, coming from you.
Our label, we also just signed with Island Records, and they're probably cringing right now. Yeah.
These guys don't know anything.
These guys are professional.
Now, you did Trust Fall at Acoustic Christmas. That was awesome.
Thank you.
Now you've done this one. It sounds like these songs are great to perform. Do you have that in your mind when you're writing a song?
What
it'll be like on stage?
Recently, I think we kind of had that sort of in the back of our heads, you know. it's great when music from a new album is super fun to play in front of people because then it translates better. When it's fun for us, I feel like it does actually translate a little
bit
better.
Yeah, definitely.
Do you think about the size venues that you play? Like maybe
it all gets factored in, really. It's sort of at this point, you know, we've been a band for, 22 years?
25 years, Mike.
almost 25
That's
years.
That's insane.
That is shocking.
Crazy. Yeah,
you're
right.
So you were like one when you started.
1991. Yeah.
Really?
Almost 25 years.
God,
yeah.
I thought it was like 22. That was like 4 years ago.
Let him say 22.
Oh, man.
What was the first song of yours that got played on K-Rock?
Pardon me.
And do you remember that day?
Yes. Yeah.
Tell me about that.
We played par three and like Van Nuys or something like that.
Yes. Yes.
And we were driving back and we kind of knew it was going to be played
at the parking lot.
420.
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
The feature 420.
Yeah, 420.
Somebody called us and said, hey, they're going to play on K-Rock today. And we were like, you know, freaking out.
Was it Stryker who played it?
Probably.
I think so.
Yeah, I think that's been his feature for that long. Yeah.
We love you, Stryker. Thank you.
Did you guys video the first time you ever heard yourself on the radio?
No, because
there were no video cameras.
Like,
that was
all
things before
brick
this was before iPhone cameras. That's right.
Yeah. You wanted to have like a cell phone. It was like attached to a car, and it was like
they're a little big.
So I don't know.
That is a special moment for any band, though, to get played on whatever your hometown radio station is.
Yeah. It doesn't get old, actually. I was freaking out just now when you guys played it.
It doesn't get old.
Do you hear it differently when you hear it on the radio? Versus when you're in the studio, you're mixing it.
It sounds better. You guys have all these cool compressors and stuff. It sounds like what's happening. It just sounds punchier. But then you also have this vague awareness that lots of people are listening to it. And so
yeah,
that kind of ups the ante, I think. And makes it, you can hear it through other people's ears, so perhaps even objectively.
You are listening to the voices of the band Incubus here on the Kevin Bean Show. We're talking about their new song, Absolution Calling, which you can buy on iTunes starting tomorrow. Hey, I see that you're playing Kimmel next Thursday. Do you have any other dates scheduled for TV or otherwise?
We got to go practice.
we got to go learn some songs.
I wish we had like a representative here.
Somebody who knew something about anything that you guys are doing.
I have to be honest. Usually it's one of the members of the band that we can turn to and they have answers.
Well, usually
what had happened was
yes,
we have all been doing our own thing and getting inspiration throughout the world.
Okay.
Started writing these songs and signing to a record label and all of a sudden we went from our own schedule to everything crammed
from nothing
into
band time. Yeah.
It did all happen.
It makes
really
sense.
Fast.
Yeah, and because of the internet, it's even faster. So,
all right, let me ask you about one other thing, and this may be a Brandon question, and that is, can you comment at all on the Rivers Cuomo story?
You know,
that is funny.
I loved every minute of that. Somebody tweeted
tell folks what happened who didn't hear.
So I got tweeted at by somebody, and it was Rivers Cuomo talking to
Larry King.
Larry King, thank you. I almost said Larry David, which would have been amazing.
Very different. I'd watch that show.
Rivers Cuomo talking to Larry King, and Larry King asked him if he had any strange fan or listener stories, I think, and he said that, I keep getting Brandon Boyd's fan mail. What's up with that?
At his house?
At two different houses.
At
he's getting mail for you.
Yeah.
Like, how in a million years would somebody confuse your bands or think that he would be the person to send Brandon Boyd mail to? It's the weirdest thing.
You didn't get any of his, right?
Here and there.
You
I
did.
Got, which is weird. But people are starting to say, like, we've never actually seen either of those two guys in the same place. Which is
interesting.
Because we look so much alike.
Yeah, the weird thing is
you're identical.
Like, the day after he said that also on television, I'm friends with Rivers. I was over at his house. He didn't say a word to me about that.
Really?
The next day I was with Brandon. He was like, Rivers said something on like TV about getting fan mail for me.
Well, Mike, you should have picked up.
Yeah,
I
felt uncomfortable. I was like,
I still haven't seen the fan mail.
Right.
I was like, Rivers. You didn't even confide in me about that. Weird.
You should go raid the house and try and find your mail. That's not cool.
It could be something cool you don't even know about.
Yeah, that's right.
True.
Rivers is awesome.
Muffins.
He is awesome, by the way.
Awesome.
Licorice.
If they're muffins, let's let it go. I don't think you need to track those down.
You need FDA approval for that.
All right. Well, I am super sad that we're out of time.
No!
A, because we enjoy spending time with you guys, but B, poor Ben. Please tell me he's not pulling into the parking lot right now, because this is going to be a heartbreaker, dude.
You guys got to sell him now.
Yeah, it's on you now. It's not on us.
He's coping.
All right,
he's having cope issues.
We're going to be playing a lot of Absolution Calling. I can feel that. You can buy it on iTunes tomorrow. You can pre-order the EP on February 10th. It'll be available everywhere on March 24th. And you can see the band on our good friend Jimmy Kimmel's show next Thursday night, late night, ABC. Incubus, folks.
Bravo. Thank you, guys. Bravo.
Thank you.
Thank
you.
Thank you, guys. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:56.
A lot of failed drug tests in the UFC lately. We'll talk to our friend Jim Rome about that coming up after the top of the hour. Jeffrey Ross stops by next hour as well. Ralph is here now with the Showbiz Beat on a Thursday. Hey, Ralph.
Hey, boys and girls. I want to give you a heads up. Tomorrow night at the Improv on Melrose in West Hollywood, Kevin Smith and I take the stage once again for Hollywood Babylon. We'd love to have you come join us. It is 10 o'clock tomorrow night. You can go to improv.com, the website, to get your tickets and to get more details. But we're going to have a good time tomorrow night. We'd love to have you come out and join us. We'll be talking about lots of good things. Excuse me. Like Suge Knight, who Bean just says horrible things about.
I can't believe the things Bean says.
Horrible, racist, derogatory, hateful things.
I think he's a great American.
That's not what you were saying.
It's funny how you're changing your tune now.
Yeah. Suge, after he was pleading in court on Tuesday to several felony charges, was rushed to the hospital, and initially they thought it was a panic attack, but it turns out it was a possibly deadly blood clot that he had.
Wow.
So he is now at Long Beach Memorial Hospital, where he's being treated with blood thinners. And, you know, he's handcuffed to the bed.
Wow.
Under 24-hour police watch, so there's that going on.
I don't mean this in any way to be derogatory toward Mr. Knight, who
no,
I have a great deal of respect for.
That's not what you were saying earlier.
Yeah, not often.
But are blood clots common with people who are crazy overweight? Is that a danger of obesity?
He looks fine to me.
I do, too. I think he looks svelte. I think he's a handsome man who looks in great shape.
I don't know why you bring that up.
I don't know why you say he's a fat bastard, but that's you, Bean.
Lisa, you're a medical expert of the Kevin and Bean Show. Do you get blood clots more likely if you're big?
I think you do.
I don't know anything about the connection between obesity and blood clots.
Okay. He has a blood clot. Does it matter?
Just wondering.
Yeah, why is this a conversation? Why are we talking about
I was just wondering
this?
If that was just a health
quietly.
Hazard.
You know, you need a notepad. Get a notepad notes to yourself as we go through things that you can check out
after
the fact.
I work in a room with a bunch of people who know stuff that I don't know, so I thought I would, you know, go crowdsource it. That's all.
Or, once again, you could make notes to yourself that you could research after after the light goes off.
I just think you're terrific.
That's what we're saying.
And then there's that. Bruce Jenner has...
Glenda!
I
don't remember. Bruce Jenner's... Continue the story. Don't be like that.
Bruce Jenner has picked his transition name. Of course, now famously, he is making the transition from man to woman. He will be transgender. And he has announced, well, according to Star Magazine anyway, they say they know what name he wants to be called when the transition is complete. It's not Glenda. Kevin, it is Belinda.
Belinda.
Is the name. The Belinda reportedly will be his new name or her new name, and we'll see if that pans out or not. But
she's dumb. Well, how dare you?
Belinda Jenner. I like it. So does Bean, apparently. And Brian Williams. Just make stuff up now.
Is this the story, man? Jesus.
I don't know. It's not the story.
Like it's a big deal.
I think it's the biggest media story going on right now. That's for sure.
I don't know about that. But...
Dude, I think he might lose his job over this.
What?
I do.
Come on.
If you're a news anchor and you've lost your credibility, if you are caught in a public lie to America, how are you going to be trusted to tell the news?
But this is a story he's told in personal appearances and things. I don't believe he reported it on the air.
He's said it on TV before. He told the story on Letterman. He's told it in print before. It doesn't look good for him, that's for sure. Bring folks up to speed.
If you don't know what he's talking about, it involves a trip he took to Iraq during the 2003 Iraqi invasion. And he was in a group of helicopters. And one of those helicopters came under fire and was forced down after being hit by an RPG. Now, he, for a long time, had told the story that he was on that helicopter that was forced to the ground and needed repairs before he could take back off again, and once again repeated the story in a tribute to one of the servicemen who was also on that mission, when another guy, a guy named Lance Reynolds, called him on it by, in essence, posting on the Facebook page at the NBC Nightly News Facebook page, "Sorry, dude, I don't remember you being on my aircraft. I do remember you walking up about an hour after we landed, asked me what happened. Then I remember you taking off in a different flight of Chinooks," which, of course, are the aircraft helicopters, "with another unit and then heading to Kuwait to report your war story to the nightly news."
So Brian Williams apologized to all the service staff members who had written in and admitted that he made a mistake. He says he confused what aircraft he was on.
He thought he was on the one that got hit?
That's what he's sort of claiming. That, oh, well, I was on one and one got hit and I guess I just got him confused. Do you get confused whether you were going in a, going down in a helicopter or not?
I don't think so.
I don't think either. I think that's pretty clear in your mind whether that happened or not.
Because you're like, thank God that wasn't me.
Yeah, look at that. It was the one in front of him.
Yeah.
That's the one that got hit. But so I think you remember
they
that.
All had to land,
we
I
were
believe.
This close.
Right. Did he say we? Like, we got hit as if, like, a community, like a group of helicopters?
No, he made it very clear that he was on the
helicopter. He did.
One time he claimed he was in the helicopter that was forced down after being struck.
All right.
So now he's saying he confused
it. And you don't think there'll be serious repercussions from this, Ralph, from the network?
I don't.
No. You think he'll survive this and people will just forget it? Because I kind of related a little bit to what happened to Dan Rather, a guy who had decades of good service on TV, and then he messed up with one source and basically was run out of the news business.
On a story involving someone else. Mm-hmm. It wasn't a personal anecdote. He was accusing someone else of misgivings that he got from a source that was out of bounds.
It just seems, it speaks to the credibility of the person speaking on television. That's all. Look, I like Brian Williams. And I think
obviously,
he does
I can tell the way you want him off of television that you're a big fan.
I do. I like him very much. I think he's a real good newsman. I don't know how you survive something like this. That's all.
Well.
We'll see what happens.
I'll send him your best wishes.
He and Shug.
You and Shug. Fat Shug and untrustable Brian Williams. He just don't like anybody.
He's harsh, man.
Really. Today's celebrity birthdays. Darren Criss from Glee is 28 years old today. Bobby Brown is 46. His daughter, Christina, by the way, in bad, bad shape there in the hospital in Atlanta. Michael Sheen is also 46. Duff McKagan's 51. Laura Linney is 51 as well. Jennifer Jason Leigh turns 53 years old. Actor Tim Meadows from SNL is 54. And one of the greats, Christopher Guest, hilarious actor, writer, director. He is 67 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
There it is. There it is. Hey, our friend, the Roastmaster General, Jeffrey Ross, joins us in studio in about 15 minutes or so. Dr. Drew next hour as well. First, though, we go to The Beast, 980 AM for our good friend Jim Rome. You can hear him 9 till noon there. The Jim Rome Show heard across the country, also on CBS Sports Network TV at 3, and Jim Rome on Showtime once a month. Hey, Jim, how are you, man? Welcome back from the Super Bowl.
Fellas, good morning. How y'all living?
We are good.
We're doing fine. You were talking about it on your show yesterday, and we want to dive a little bit into the UFC drug scandal. It does seem like they're having an awful lot of athletes that are having to come out and say, oh, wait a minute, he was on something too. What's going on, Jim?
All right, so you've got Anderson Silva and you've got Nick Diaz. This is amazing to me because you've got arguably the greatest fighter in MMA history, and Silva allegedly roided out of his mind, going up against a guy, Nick Diaz, who for all we know is baked out of his mind when he got into the octagon.
Just the first
Roids
time.
Roids v. Kron. How is Diaz still alive?
This is the first time
Roids
I've ever heard.
Roids v. Kron.
It's the first time I've ever heard where both fighters tested negative. I mean positive. That's crazy.
Yeah, for different things. The thing is, like when Silva was tested, he was tested 3 weeks before that fight, and then they let him fight anyway, saying that they didn't get the test results back until after the fight, which is pretty curious, right? I talked to Dana White a few days before the fight, and he admitted he couldn't find Diaz. He had no idea where Diaz was, and now we know he was probably burning copious amounts of the hippie lettuce somewhere.
He had no idea when, Thursday or Friday, and the fight was Saturday?
Exactly.
Wow.
I mean, that's just Nick doing Nick things.
Yeah.
I mean, Dana wasn't even surprised. He knew what he was getting into. But literally, he could not find the cat anywhere.
Hmm. Look, I don't know anything about medical testing and why it takes so long, but it sure seems like it's kind of pointless to run those kinds of tests if the idea isn't to find out if your fighter is clean before he fights.
Yeah, it sure seems like that. But what they call that is out-of-competition testing. And they would argue that it's totally random, that the lab itself doesn't even know who the test goes to. It's just a number. It's not a name. It's just one of those things. You know, I mean, if you like conspiracy theories, try and figure out how bad would it have been if they had that positive test and they pulled the plug on the entire thing.
I mean,
it would be a really bad look. But again, they're denying it. And Silva himself says, oh, I didn't do it. I don't do drugs. That's not me. Except he tested positive for two roids. Oh, and he's coming off a big injury and he's almost 40.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Great point, Jim. So what happens now? I mean, they obviously they don't set aside the win or anything. What do they do? Do they do like they do in the NFL and just fine them for it?
Yeah, they're going to get penalized. If, in fact, it comes to fruition, they're going to get penalized. I mean, Diaz, that's the third time now he's tested positive for the Kron. And Silva, if, in fact, he can't get this thing to go his way and he's not successful in his appeal, they're going to ding him, too. I mean, he may never fight again.
He was so emotional.
But guys, no, I know. I was going to say, my favorite thing is, though, I've got this group of pinheads that always email me and tweet at me like, hey, Rome, I'd have a lot more interest in MMA if these guys were allowed to bring weapons into the octagon, you know, because it's not dangerous enough. Like, what they need is a 2x4 or a lead pipe or maybe a tire iron. Right. Well, the next best thing is the best guy ever on roids. That's as close as it's going to get.
Let me ask you one larger question about the pot, and that is, they keep fining all these guys and suspending all these guys in the NFL. Do you think eventually they're just going to go, all right, everybody smokes pot. It's not going to be on the controlled substance list. It's not going to be a big deal anymore, and just allow it to happen?
I mean, if you want to look at society and the way this thing's going, isn't that pretty much where we're going anyway?
Hopefully.
It's getting looser and looser. I mean, and I think there are much worse things, and I'm not here to bang the cron, hippie lettuce, Mary Jane drum. It's not my deal. It's not what I do. But society is moving in that direction. And I think even cognitively speaking, if you can show that it actually helps with concussions and things of that nature, I think they're actually going to go a little more lax on it than they are right now. It's going to get better.
Do you think it hurts the UFC that Anderson Silva tested positive and John Jones tested positive? Both, it seemed like 3 weeks before their fight.
It's not a good thing, right? It's not a good thing when Bones Jones, the best in the game and a superstar, the Michael Jordan of the Octagon, is tooting up the Bolivian marching powder before a fight. And Diaz, who we thought was this physical freak that would never do anything like that because he was that gifted, is also roided up. So, yeah, it's definitely not a good thing at all.
Talk to our friend Jim Rome, as we do every week at this time on the Kevin and Bean Show. Let's switch topics. Lance Armstrong has been out of the news for a minute, and he came back in a very embarrassing way. What's the story, Jim?
My man, have you seen this? So Lance, it seems like Lance turned the corner. He's getting accountable, actually answering to some of the crap he's pulled over the years. Then he goes to Aspen and apparently goes on some bender, gets behind the wheel of his car, bounces it off a couple of parked cars, and then left the scene. And then convinced his girlfriend, as the story goes, to take the fall for him. Mm. So she says, oh, no, it wasn't Lance. It was me. I was driving the car. Sounds pretty bulletproof, right? Until you find a valet who says, no, the old man got in the car. It was not her. So it looks like he's lying on his backside again.
Again.
It seems to me, I'm not a guy who lies, but if you do it every day, all day, and you do it long enough, you probably don't even know when you're telling the truth and when you're lying ever again. Like OJ, but, right? He probably convinced himself he never whacked anybody.
But what was his, what was Lance Armstrong's reason, though? It's not like he was, it's not like he's still racing. It's not like he was on drugs, as far as we know. He just literally didn't want to take the blame. Why?
Yeah, exactly. Like, it's, this is going to be a really, really bad look, and it's not going to be good. I've got enough issues. I'm the famous guy. Hey, do me a favor, man. Just jump on the grenade for me, babe. Just do this for me. Do you love me? Just say it was you. I mean, so not only does the guy lie, he's got other people lying now, including his girlfriend, allegedly.
It's so crappy. All right, we're almost out of time here, but I am very excited, Jim, to talk to you about this because we've never discussed this on the program before. You are a horse owner, and you've got a great horse that that runs competitively and wins races. You got a big race this weekend. What's going on?
You don't care about that.
I do care about that. I'll tell you why. Because
I've really been wanting to get into this with you, Rome. I love this.
Could I butt in? I don't care, but I'm happy.
I do care for you. I do care because
be real, man. Let's be real.
I am fascinated with somebody that goes the route of buying a horse because it seems like the chance of that paying off for anyone is so remote. I'm wondering what drives you to get into that field.
Can I tell you something? You'd be better off lighting your money on fire. And I did for a number of years, but the amazing thing was, and we were just getting our asses kicked. But, you know, we love the horses. We love the whole thing. It was fun. I've never had so much fun losing all my money. But then we finally found one that was good, and it paid for most of the money we lost. But my wife and I, Janet, do own a horse in a partnership named Share Belief. And Share Belief was the two-year-old champion. He was the best two-year-old in America. And he's going up against the best three-year-old in America in California Chrome. It's at Santa Anita this weekend. People are setting it up as a grudge match, the rematch. But
yeah,
it's
horses,
literally,
man.
Two of the... They're amazing, man. It's kind of hard to explain, but this horse is my favorite athlete ever. He doesn't get busted for drugs.
True.
He has no domestic assault charges. He's always on time. He tries his hardest. He has no bad attitude. My favorite athlete ever, Shared Belief.
All right. So are you urging our listeners to put everything they've got on your horse at Santa Anita Saturday?
Hell no. Hell no. I'm telling my listeners, and I will tell your listeners, do not bet the race because the odds are going to be very low. I don't want you coming to me with, hey, Rome, that goat cost me $20.
Yeah.
If you get down and you win, you can chip me off my 10%, but no, I'm not saying bet. I am saying watch, and I am saying go. It's going to be a blast.
So you want
just
a little
don't
taste.
Bet.
You want a little taste if they win, but no slack if it doesn't.
Right?
Is that correct?
Win-win.
All right.
Win-win.
I think that's a very
win-win.
Reasonable position.
Like
all right. You can
lose
listen
money,
to
don't cry to me. You win, you give me some back.
Jim Rome's going to be on the Beast 980 AM from 9 till noon today. Don't miss him on the TV. CBS Sports at 3 and Jim Rome on Showtime airs every month. Thanks for the time, man. We'll talk to you soon.
You icons are the best.
Jeff Ross, what happened to all your hair, buddy? What happened? You're not on death row, are you?
I donated it to Locks of Hate.
Our friend, the Roastmaster General, ladies and gentlemen, Jeffrey Ross, joins us in studio here on the Kevin
Good morning.
Show. He's got a big weekend on stage at the Brea Improv with four shows. Two shows Friday, two shows Saturday. Tickets just $25, available at improv.com. And here's one thing I'll tell you about. You go see Jeff Ross. You will be part of the act. So how have you been, man? What have you been up to?
Been good, man. Life on the road, telling jokes, getting
like
ready for a big roast, and getting ready for a little tour.
Let's talk about the big roast.
What do you want to know?
Justin Bieber. We had mixed feelings when we heard the announcement about the roast.
What?
Look, we know it's going to be great. We hate that Justin Bieber is excited about it and looking forward to it, because now it seems like he's self-aware and in on the joke, and that's not as much fun for us.
Oh, well, you know, he doesn't realize how rough it's going to be. So I think you'll be – if you love him or hate him, it's going to be hella funny.
On the list of celebrities that you could roast, the dream list, Bieber's got to be near the top just in terms of how much material he gives you guys, right?
As far as that goes, yeah. I mean, it's not like it's a lifetime achievement award or anything.
Yeah.
But he's turning 21. He has, you know, he wants to man up a little bit. I give him credit, man. What, at that age, I wouldn't have been able to handle it.
But you were, you were never as much of an a-hole as Justin Bieber was, ever. Maybe you would have been if you had that kind of money, though.
You know, we all do dumb stuff. I'm not making excuses for him, but we all do dumb stuff when we're young. And
look, if I had that much money when I was 17, I'd probably be dead right now. Honestly, I just think it would be the worst thing.
I give him credit. I give him credit for letting us take him down like this.
Yeah, but I agree with Bean. He's going to act like, oh, this is fun, isn't it?
We want it to hurt, Jeff.
Yeah.
I still think it's going to hurt.
All right,
pal.
Good.
I promise you, I am going to roast him vicariously for all of America.
All right, beautiful.
Who's on
there
the panel?
There will be blood.
Who's going to be on the panel?
Oh, well, we have Frankie Avalon, Tony Orlando. No,
I don't think any of these are the actual people.
All the teen heartthrobs from way back when.
Did you get Selena Gomez? Is she going to be there?
No comment. There's no comment yet.
No.
Oh, so you're not going to say. Okay.
I can't say yet.
When is this?
March, the middle of March.
Middle of March, okay.
Yeah, it's going to air, I think, the third week of March, maybe the 22nd.
All right. Have you spent any time with Bieber? Do you know him at all personally?
I'm going to meet him tomorrow. We're shooting some promos. So I'm super excited. I knew that he was into the roast because he's been following me on Twitter for years.
He has.
So I kind of knew that he might be into that kind of humor. So apparently, Chris D'Elia last night told me he has a good sense of humor. He's friends with him. So I'm psyched about it. At first, I was like, what? Oh, okay. I kind of get it.
Have you seen his new video that he just posted? You've seen that where he's all serious?
Yeah, that was strange.
Sensitive Bieber?
I started to think that the joke's on us for a second.
He's no genius. That's not – he's been pulling the wool over our eyes. Come on.
I think he's brave boy to do this.
And I don't think – look, as much of a dick as he's been for two or three solid years – it is possible to rehabilitate your image. I mean, it's possible he could turn – who knows? He could turn into an actual human adult with some talent and have a career for all we know.
He's talented. I think he's worth saving. I think this is a good reset button.
Hmm.
He saw that we did this for other people. Charlie Sheen kind of got roasted and had a new show right after that. So.
Yep.
I don't want him to come back, though. I mean,
that's still
on the table?
We're roasting him into oblivion.
I just want to make sure that's still on the table.
I guarantee it'll be the best Comedy Central roast in history. That's for sure.
Right. I think it's going to be great, too. Has there ever been a time where the person thought they were strong enough for it, understood that it was going to be, you know, there was going to be hurtful jokes told, but they thought it was all in good fun, and then you realize during the roast, oh, man, they are not receiving this in the spirit in which it is intended. They're actually crying on the inside. Has that ever happened to you, Jeff?
I did sort of see tinges of that when we roasted Donald Trump in New York. He was in his sort of hometown. He had his family there. And then you saw it in his face that, whoa, he was not used to being spoken to like that. And I'd even roasted him at the Friars Club. But that was like, you know, kind of older legends that were on his level, sort of. When he dumped himself into the Comedy Central roast, it was like a gauntlet he hadn't expected. And I even went up to him during the commercial. I was like, Donald, if you just smile and pretend to enjoy it, we'll have something to cut to as opposed to everyone in the audience laughing at you. So just
you told him that. How did he receive that?
He smirked he started to understand it in that way, and he loosened up a little bit.
That's good advice.
Yeah. If you're having fun, everyone will have fun. That's what I always tell the honorary.
If you're not, though, the rest of us have a great time.
Yeah, I love that you love the blood sport of it.
I do.
Jeffrey Ross is here at the Kevin and Bean Show again on stage at the Improv in Brea. Tickets are available now through roastmastergeneral.com or improv.com. $25 is all to see Jeff. Do you play a lot in Southern California, Jeff? You mentioned you're on the road a lot. Is this a rare appearance for you?
No, I'm going to do Irvine and Brea in the next month or two just to stay home a little bit more. I like it here, and the crowds are great in SoCal. So,
and you have a place to live here, and that's nicer than being on the road.
Yeah, I'm actually in Detroit, New York next week, and I'm shooting my stand-up comedy next hour for Comedy Central this month. So,
oh, great.
Yeah, it's going to be a busy time on the road, writing new jokes, speed roasting the audience in Brea. I think maybe for Valentine's Day I'll roast couples this weekend. If there's any couples out there that want to come on stage and see if you can handle it, I'm down.
Do people show up that just want the spotlight that aren't entertaining at all for you to roast? I mean, do you have to sort of find the people that aren't quite so amped for it?
Great question. There's always something funny about everybody.
There is, okay.
And if they're willing to pay for a ticket and sit through my show, and when I invite volunteers to come on stage, I always say, if you're drunk, stay in your seat. If you're pregnant or handicapped, please come on stage. And inevitably, I get characters. You know what? I was in West Palm Beach 2 weeks ago. I had a bride and groom still in their gown and tuxedo come on stage. So you never know what you're going to get at my show. It's very punk rock.
I don't even know those people, but I love that that's how they spent their first day as man and wife, is at a Jeff Ross comedy show.
It was so great, and they really were good sports, and they brought all their friends, and I think there's a picture on my Instagram of how cute they were.
It is amazing, though, because we've seen Jeff, and we just can't do what you do, obviously. You're the man, but you bring up people on stage, and I'm like, what is he going to make fun of that person about? And you are able to find something. I just don't know how you can be so hateful and such a nice guy.
I'm really good at judging a book by its cover.
Exactly.
Even when the cover is fat and ugly.
Well, I'm glad you stopped by. I wish we had more time. I know you got to rush out the door because you're doing some TV this morning, right?
Yeah, I'm going to go over to KTLA and pump up the shows. And I'm just making the rounds, but this is always the first stop on my agenda.
Hat or no hat on TV? Hat or no hat?
What do you mean? On the KTLA?
Uh-huh.
Oh, I don't know. It's probably no hat.
Okay.
It's hot out. How do you like my prison look?
It's crazy.
It's very prison-y.
I look like I ate Bruce Willis.
You sort of do.
I shaved my head in the summer, and now I just keep reshaving it because I love touching it. It keeps me from touching my schmeckle in public.
Well, whatever helps with that.
Whatever it takes. See Jeff Ross at the Brea Improv Friday and Saturday night. Improv.com. Tickets just $25. And look for a date you think sometime maybe near the end of March for the Comedy Central roast of Justin Bieber. That is going to be great, Jeff. You're welcome anytime, sir. Thanks for stopping by.
Love you guys.
Thank you, Jeff. If you want to see that young man, Hozier, at the K-Rock Grammy Party, pre-Grammy Party, it's going to be tomorrow night at the Grammy Museum at LA Live. We will do that for you and get you on the standby boarding list to see him again at Slane Castle in Ireland. Speaking of Hozier, by the way, Kevin, this is amazing. The one thing about the Grammys is that they do performance, performance, performance. In a three-hour show, I think I don't know the exact number, but I think they have like 20 performances. Everybody from AC/DC to Sia to Ariana Grande to Eric Church, but they have a whole bunch of duets, like one-of-a-kind duets. That's been the thing in recent years.
Right.
Hozier is going to be performing, for instance, with Annie Lennox. They're going to be singing together. Tom Jones is going to be on with Jessie J. Beck is going to be doing a duet with Chris Martin.
Huh. That's weird.
Ed Sheeran is going to be performing with the Electric Light Orchestra.
They're still alive?
Yes, they are still alive. And just it goes on and on and on. One of the performances we are most looking forward to is going to be Rihanna, who is set to perform with Kanye West and Paul McCartney. They're going to be doing their new song, 4 or 5 Seconds, which came out a couple of weeks ago. That could be pretty cool, right?
I think so, but it's odd to me that Paul McCartney did a song with Kanye and was not allowed to sing.
Right?
Yes. He just played the guitar. And now in this song, maybe he does a little bit of backup, but really not any singing.
Yeah, I think he's allowed to just barely whisper the chorus along with Kanye and Rihanna.
But Paul McCartney!
For whatever reason, people keep hiring a Beatle and not letting him sing because he wouldn't be good at that. So we wanted to find out more about how the song came together, 4 or 5 Seconds. By the way, do we have a clip of the song? That would have been really cool if we did.
Nope.
Oh, sure didn't think of that. And we wanted to find out about the performance that's going to air this Sunday night on CBS. Our old friend Rihanna is on the phone with us right now on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Hi, Rihanna. How you been?
do rock and tease up, boop, 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 boop. Little come by Richie, reach the poor McCartney. It's a Richie coconut today, but 1 second, 2 seconds. No, I'm messing with Richie for 5 seconds. I book that.
I think Rihanna was just telling us how they came up with the song title of 4 or 5 seconds.
That's right. With island style, no 1 second, no to put it up for 4 or 5 seconds. Ooh, all we need is love. But don't I don't work on rocket and put need that mango rocket in. But beside with the gunplay, make it
So that's how you got together with Paul McCartney, huh?
Boost rocket in.
Rihanna, how?
Chicken head, no, with the screw face. Not with it, instead to with me, I do with the lime juice, no.
Rihanna, why when you sing can we understand every word, and yet when we talk to you, we don't know what you're saying?
What?
And my next question for you, Rihanna, is actually Kevin's question. Why do you bother having Paul McCartney at the session when you could get anybody to just strum along a little acoustic guitar? Like, isn't that a waste of a guy with his abilities?
Here's what they say, man. We can use the Paul McCartney. Look in my eyes. They say, no, we have no, you're not the Beatles. Mess I Rathumburger with the Beatles Jews. Brooklyn.
I got nothing. Lisa, you get any of that
not
with Rihanna?
Really? No.
I got blood clot. What's that, Rihanna?
What? I said, shut up, Lisa.
And now it's time for a moment with Kevin.
B E.
Beverly.
No.
No, I'm out.
L.
L. Third letter. Brell.
No, there's no R, Kevin.
Oh. Aren't you glad you came back, though?
He's going to die.
Oh, I'm not in the condition to take that.
All right.
Bro.
That was a moment with Kevin.
So that wasn't a good guess when you gave him the B, E, and the L?
Just a little context. We were doing a story about Bruce Jenner, who, of course, is going to be going through a transition from male to female. And the National Enquirer claims they know what his female name is going to be. And I was letting the kids guess by giving them one letter at a time. And we got to B-E-L. B-E-L.
Right. Silent R.
No, there's no... If it was a silent R, why would you pronounce it? Why would you say Brell if it was a silent R? All right, that's another moment with now, off of that one. We're starting to piggyback moments with now.
How dare you.
And it's going to be Belinda... Or if you're Kevin, Brelinda, apparently. Because B-E-L is Brel.
What name would you choose, Ralph, if you were getting sex change operation? You could be a girl.
Wow. Got to go with Monique.
Monique?
All right.
You would make a good Monique.
It's never anything that's crossed my mind before.
How about you, Kevin? What's your girl name?
I really don't have a girl name.
What's your girl name being? that you're assuming that at some point... We spent any time at all thinking what our names would be if we were women.
I'm not assuming that at all. I'm assuming that once somebody asks the question, you have a few seconds to think about it and just come up with an answer.
You need more than a few seconds if you're going to rename yourself.
Well, nobody's going to hold you to it for life. This isn't binding. I'm just saying off the top of your head.
Then I'm Beyonce.
You can be Beyonce if you want to be. That's a great name, Kevin.
Or Brelonce.
Brelonce, sure.
In Kevin's
Bean,
case.
Bean, what's your girl name?
I've never thought about it either.
Oh, he knows. He's
of course
had,
you have. Just asked two other
he
people.
He has a tattoo on the inside of his thigh.
Because we were talking about Bruce Jenner. That's
right,
the only reason I ask.
What's your name?
Is your name...
I'm not sure how to spell that, but I think I'd be a nice Violet. I think I'd be a good Violet. Like me and the Dowager Countess, I think we are good Violets.
What's happening?
Lisa, what's your boy name?
Brandon.
Of course. It's got to be Brandon.
It's not who do you want to bone, Lisa. It's what would you name yourself?
Brandon.
That would get you one step closer to Brandon. So, okay.
You're confused. I might go with Amber.
Ah.
Amber's pretty
good
hot.
That's a good name.
Makes me think of Amber Heard, of course. And congratulations to Amber and Johnny Depp. They got married this week. People Magazine reported they got married at their Los Angeles home on Tuesday. E! News and Us Weekly also confirmed the story, but according to all three sources, there will be a bigger ceremony taking place on Johnny's private island in the Bahamas this weekend.
It brings me agony and sadness and dread.
What does he have that I don't have?
I can't have Amber in my life!
By the way, didn't Johnny Depp have a girlfriend for like 15 years that he never married?
Yes.
Yeah, I think so.
That Vanessa Paradis or whatever, that kids Vanessa with, Paradis. Lived together. Yeah, yes. Paradis, yeah. Mm-hmm. And now Amber comes along and boom, marries her.
Happens that way all the time.
It was a mutual decision with he and Vanessa. It wasn't like Vanessa was dying to get married and he said no all the time. That was just the nature of their relationship. They didn't
want
to
take would she marry him over me?
Listener Nick, how are you going to handle this bad news?
No, I'm going to get high tonight, though. I'm going to get very high tonight.
All right. Okay, whatever it takes.
For those who don't get it, Nick is a listener of ours. We've talked to from time to time here on the Kevin and Bean Show, and he's got a fixation on Amber Heard, and he's genuinely upset that she's marrying Johnny Depp because, like, there was some choice to be made.
He thought
between
he
the
was
two
next in
them.
Line.
Hey, I get where Nick's coming from, ma'am. I totally identify with that.
Yeah, well, that says a lot.
I still hate that.
It says a lot about Nick and a lot about you.
Allison Brie is with that stupid Dave Franco instead of me. I mean, I know what Nick's talking about.
That makes you.
Easy, Violet.
That makes one of you.
I got a chance to spend a little time with Johnny over the holidays. We were in a film together, and Amber was on the set, and they're both remarkably kind, sweet, nice people, and I couldn't be happier for the two of them to be together. And I can absolutely see why Amber would choose Johnny over Nick. Having some experience with both of them, I think I'm well.
I've only met one
equipped
of them.
To make the decision.
I've only met one of them, and that's Nick. And
he's got a lot to offer, though.
He does.
He's he can type.
He can generate words.
We know he can. He can sure type words.
His emails are 10,000 words.
They are.
He's got a lot to say.
But his scripts.
Hey, update. 7:30 tomorrow morning. We got a team in to talk Nick down from the ledge. That Nick is going to be speaking with K-Rock listener Nick and find out how he's going to move on now that Amber has chosen another.
Outstanding.
That's going to go terribly bad.
CBS has canceled the McCarthys. If I knew what the McCarthys was, I might be sad.
Lisa, what's the McCarthys?
I don't know.
Oh, you watched it. You had to have watched it.
I don't know what the McCarthys is.
Wow.
I think it's a sitcom about a family called, wait for it, McCarthy. I believe that's the case.
All right.
But it's like the last four unaired episodes, which may or may not be seen. They have been
pulled. I kind of remember now. It's like a bunch of Irish people that yell at each other all the time.
Yeah,
that
sounds right.
Well, that's the Garmins you're thinking of. Yeah, it sweeps, and apparently they can't take the hits anymore in the ratings department, so they're going to replace it with some reruns of Big Bang Theory and the hour-long series finale of Two and a Half Men apparently will take the time slot. So.
CBS doesn't have many misses, by the way. It's very rare for them to lose a show.
True. Speaking of shows, did anyone else get screwed with the Blacklist at the Super Bowl?
Yes.
Well, it's on again tonight. They're rerunning it tonight before the next new episode, so you can catch the first episode of the returning season and the follow-up episode tonight back-to-back. So I just want to give you a little programming note, heads up on NBC. You can see both of those episodes. Because I got horked.
I went to my DVR.
I went to watch it, and it was just Tom Brady just polishing the Lombardi Trophy with his vagina.
Spoiler alert, because the listeners who did watch The Blacklist said that Keen is not a good FBI agent and that once again she gets captured and does not follow protocol to do terrible things.
Violet, why don't you shut up? Hey, Violet, here's your answer. Don't watch. Stop watching it and then stop talking about it because I don't want to hear it from you anymore.
I just think you're awfully defensive of Keen, Monique. That's all.
I love Keen. I think she's a terrific agent. I love
that. She's a terrible agent.
Oh, shut up.
It's Amber, by the way. Today's celebrity birthday said Christopher Guest is 67 years old today. He's one of the best.
Mm-hmm. He sure is.
He is a great writer, a great director, a great performer. I always enjoy his films.
Right?
Yep, absolutely. Tim Meadows from Saturday Night Live is 54 years old today. Jennifer Jason Leigh turns 53. Laura Linney, speaking of great, another talented actress, she is 51. Duff McKagan, he is 51 as well. Michael Sheen. You can see him in the Masters of Sex. He plays Masters and or Johnson on that show. He is 46 years old. Bobby Brown, also 46 today. Cristiano Ronaldo is 30. Speaking of soccer, Neymar is 23. And actor Darren Criss of Glee fame is 28. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Had a great time with the boys from Incubus this morning. They stopped by in the 7 o'clock hour. Well, except for Ben. He's a dick. But the rest of them were here, and they were cool.
He was otherwise detained.
That's what I understand, yeah. Anyway, they brought a brand new song with them called Absolution Calling. Brand new Incubus just world premiered this morning here on the Kevin Bean Show on K-Rock. And it is great, by the way. And we are going to be playing that for you again later this hour this morning on K-Rock.
Time to talk to Dr. Drew. We talk to him every week. Mm-hmm. Good morning, Dr. Drew.
Good morning. I'm a little nervous today. I don't know quite what I'm getting into here.
Oh. Well, here's what happened. Here's the setup. At this time yesterday, your friend Adam Carolla, your life partner Adam Carolla, was on the phone with us.
My life partner. Thank you.
And we were talking about how everybody is getting sick these days. Lisa was out sick for a couple of days. Kevin was out sick. Ralph was out sick yesterday. We were talking about what's up with that. And he had some interesting theories about why he never, ever gets sick. And he pointed out that he never gets sick, yet he never follows any of your advice. You follow your own advice, and you get sick a lot. In fact, these are the words that came out of Adam's mouth yesterday.
We all know Dr. Drew is a world-class pussy. That's number one.
All right.
Number two, that man is sick 3 weeks out of every month. I'm a fire captain. I'm giving you tips on fire safety, except for my house is on fire right now. Who are you going to listen to?
So Adam seems to think that he's one of those people who thinks that you don't build up any immunity if you are constantly scrubbing yourself and washing your hands and avoiding contact with it. Yes.
Did he go on about how he doesn't need to take a shower and doesn't need to use soap?
No.
Have you sat next to that man lately?
He didn't share that with us.
Oh, he's gone all the way over the edge.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. He's decided that we do too much scrub. When he was saying scrubbing and washing, he literally meant that we do too much of that, so he'll do none of it.
Oh. So how long does he go in between showers?
A couple weeks.
No!
No!
And if he does, he certainly doesn't use soap.
No!
Soap is just stripping your natural oils. I wish he would strip some of that scent from himself so I could stand sitting next to him when we're doing a podcast.
Here's what he said about Purell.
Purell is going to turn out to be a very bad choice 5 years from now when they start doing a whole bunch of studies. People need to be exposed to things. Don't wash your hands. Don't use Purell. Roll around in feces.
Now, I'm not sure. Is that – you go that far?
Not only – it's interesting that he picked Purell because I had to sit through many years of him telling me how he injured himself self-stimulating with Purell. How he got into his urethra. And he's so traumatized by Purell, he's decided to go completely the other way. Yes, certainly doctors walking around hospitals should not wash their hands because everyone knows it's not that that transmits diseases. It's bacteria on our hands that we need to transfer to other patients so they can be a sewer rat like Adam.
See, now you're coming around to his way of thinking. All right, so what is, because this is the number one thing we hear from you and other medical professionals every flu season is wash your hand is the best thing you can do. Is that still good advice?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You going to listen to that, J.O.?
What
Come
about
on now.
J.O.?
What about Dr. Carolla, though? Does he have any points?
Oh, of course. He has extensive training at North Hollywood High.
Why do you think he doesn't get sick? Is it just that he was blessed with a great immune system?
Yes, he's got good genes. And boy, and when he – who's the bigger pussy? When he gets – I saw him – he got sick once. And that guy laid in bed moaning for 3 days, and I could get near him. No, I'm sick. So when he does get sick, it's a national disaster.
He told us, literally he told us that he doesn't get sick because he's made up his mind that he's not going to get sick.
Oh, my God.
That's what he said.
He's finally gone over the edge. He's always been a little manicky, but now he's full on into a psychotic state. I'm going to have to go track him down.
All right, maybe this is controversial, but is there anything to the brain having some power over how your body reacts to germs and illness and whatnot? Is there such thing as your mind being able to help you heal faster, get better, quicker, anything like that?
It doesn't hurt, that's for sure. And let's be clear, the neural tissue and the immune cells, the immune system, do develop together and they sort of break off from one another. There is clearly some sort of intimate connection between our central nervous system and our immunological system. But, you know, that kind of thing, you know, the positive mental attitude and cancers and infectious diseases, we actually did think there would be something really good there. And there's nothing bad there, but it's not bearing fruit the way we had hoped. But it certainly makes the illness more tolerable, that's for sure.
What about this?
Roll around in feces.
What about that?
Yeah, that's recommended for everybody.
Is that good advice?
But certainly use Purell afterwards.
Okay.
All right. Let me ask you two more things about the sickness in the cold and flu season. And we've had this at K-Rock, and we hear from a lot of listeners who say it's going through their house or their school or their work or whatever, too. I mean, this is just a bad time of year for people passing it to other people. How do you know when you're contagious, Dr. Drew? When is it time to go back to work?
It depends on the condition. It is kind of a difficult call. I mean, if you are having active symptoms, you're still contagious. But many illnesses, you're more contagious just before the, you know, you really get sick, just when things are getting started. That's when the virus is really teeming in your system. But things like measles, which is, of course, on everyone's mind right now, thanks to the people of the southern Sudan. Oh, I mean West Los Angeles. I'm vaccinated. It's so unbelievable. That is, you know, 90%. If you walk near somebody, you're going to get that. And that's well after the symptoms and well before they get very serious, the symptoms develop.
All right, Dr. Drew, if those of us that work here at K-Rock get sick, one particular person it gets angry and really forces you to feel bad and get back to work sooner. And that person is Bean.
How dare you?
Is that good advice or bad advice?
Good advice.
It's good advice.
Always good advice. But listen, again, it's back to if the person's coming back early, wash your hands. You know, radio stations, you know, when they study situations where infectious diseases, you know, viruses are more likely to transmit, radio stations always rank high on the list. And it's the damn microphones and the boards we all use.
Yeah, this is a nasty hellhole.
Well, it's really the mic. So keep the mic a little bit away from your face and don't put your hands to your face and you will be fine. Because a lot of it is not even airborne anyway. It's all on our hands.
Okay, last question for Dr. Drew, and that is, I think you mocked me a couple of years ago about this, maybe longer. You mocked me for saying that it works. A lot of people, they go, oh, man, I'm starting to feel a little bit woozy or my throat's starting to hurt a little bit. I'm going to power down all this vitamin C, the emergency or some product like that with a glass of water, and that's going to stave it off. Is there any science behind that stuff working?
The words or the notion that you can, quote, knock something out or be stave something off is truly bizarre. Now, what we do show is once illness develops, like a flu, like once you are in bed prostrate with fever, you can shorten the duration of that with Tamiflu. And if you get the right antibiotic for the right infection, it will resolve in time. But it's not as though you can prevent something from coming on that's coming on, or suddenly magically it's midway to developing and boom, it just goes out.
Think about that attitude.
Think about a skin infection. All infections kind of work like that. You get a red, pussy skin infection. As it's coming on, it still kind of comes on, but it doesn't get as bad. It doesn't last as long if you take the right antibiotic.
So you just come on here every week, Drew, to crush dreams and shatter hope, right?
Well, mostly for Adam. I mean, you really got me going today.
All right. Dr. Drew On Call airs on the TV on HLN Monday through Thursday nights at 6. You can catch him with Mike Catherwood live on KABC this afternoon at 7:90 a.m. at noon. And, of course, the Fine Family of Dr. Drew podcast and Loveline here on K-Rock 5 nights a week. Thanks for nothing, Doc.
You got it.
Congratulations to Jaime Araujo.
I don't even think that's close. I don't think that's anywhere near where the real name is.
Montana. He just won tickets to see Hozier tomorrow night at the Grammy Museum at LA Live for the pre-Grammy party and also qualified for that trip for two to Slane Castle in Ireland to see Hozier. Your chance to win is coming up. Right?
Right.
Who's with me?
I am.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 9:39.
How you feeling, by the way, Ralph, now that you've been here all day?
Like ass, thanks.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll let you do the last showbiz beat and then get out of here and get back
thanks
home.
Thanks for
and get
pressuring
back to
me
bed,
to come in. I appreciate that. I always feel good about that.
But it was worth it, though. You had a good time, right?
No.
We had some laughs?
Nope.
We did have some laughs.
Nope.
Okay.
I would have been better off in bed healing. But no, Bean won't have that.
But the listeners won't have that. The listeners refuse to listen to a program that you're
Bean
not on.
Bean feels
now.
Cheated if someone else doesn't show up.
He does strangely take it personally.
It's a personal affront to him if you're not here for some reason.
What's wrong with having a commitment to excellence?
Shut up. Showing up is not a commitment to excellence.
I feel like we should at least try to do our best. That's all.
Well, we do.
Here's the thing.
Do you think we don't? Do you think people are trying not to be here and trying not to do the show?
How do you take that personally?
By the way, you're the guys who said I'd take it personally, not me.
You do. You're the only one on the team who sends out emails when someone is sick, accusing them of not really being sick and doing something else on a regular basis.
I can't accuse anybody of anything.
You, Did you not send an email to Lisa when she was out sick saying, enjoy that Vegas trip?
Have fun in Vegas.
That was just the same thing to me.
There was a good chance you were.
All the time you hit him with whatever he's doing. Like, well, that must be a fun trip for you wherever you are when he's sick.
Look, my point
is. You're not the only one who cares about excellence, my friend.
That's right.
My point is, it's better for everybody if we're all here pulling our
weight. Well, we know that, and if we can come in, we will. For one of us to have to take some time off when they're sick, it means that they're really sick.
I'd say we have a pretty good record of coming in when we're sick, unless we can't.
Okay.
You're the only person who's really offended by it.
If that's what you say, then that's what I say. Everyone's suspicious
of our illness. Everyone else sent that email. Geez, I'm sorry you don't feel well. Get better soon. Beans is like, what's the real reason you're not here?
What's really going on?
I take it personally.
By the way.
You're just a strange duck.
I'm going to send you to hell.
Well, that's extreme. I don't think that's necessary.
That's where you belong. Congratulations, Johnny Depp and Amber Heard. Two lovely people going to spend their life together in wedded bliss. They got married, according to several sources, at their home in Los Angeles on Tuesday and plan an even bigger ceremony taking place this weekend on Johnny's private island in the Bahamas.
What's their age difference, if you know, Ralph?
Johnny is 51 years old. Amber Heard is 28 years old.
Okay.
That's one of those couples where you look at them and you go, good for her, good for him.
Yeah, really. There's no chink in that armor right there. They do.
Well, I don't know that we need to make it a racial thing. I just...
It sounds racist.
It's not racist. It's a euphemism that means a weakness or a weak spot in a suit of armor.
I don't think that Asians are weak.
That has nothing to do with wrong Asians and at all. Speaking of Asians, Astro Boy? You familiar with Astro Boy, the manga series Astro Boy?
It was a cartoon series back
in the 60s. It was Japanese manga comics even before that. They made a CGI version of it about 6 years ago. It did not do well, but they've just announced they are going to relaunch the series with a live-action feature film starring Astro Boy. The boy robot will be the robot superhero for the new millennium, they say. Well, you're a little late on the new millennium because it's about 15 years deep. But I understand what you're shooting for, and I wish you the best of luck. Astro Boy rocked.
I don't think I
He was a boy. He was a robot.
Was he a boy or a robot?
He was a boy robot. He was like Pinocchio.
Okay.
Oh.
And I believe Professor Elephant was his father slash inventor.
Sure.
Of course. And he fought crime. Uh-huh. Yes. Yeah. Astro Boy.
Sure.
Not to be confused with Marine Boy, who was a whole different breed of cat, but brought to you by
Marine
the same
Boy's
people.
A cat?
No, Marine Boy was a boy superhero who could breathe underwater.
Okay.
With his oxygum. Okay. He would chew oxygenated gum and it would allow him to breathe underwater.
All right, you need to go back and get some rest.
You're having a fever dream right now. These things all were real.
I'm telling you.
Yep.
Hey, I hate to ask, but what's
really wrong with you? Why did you take yesterday off?
I hope you got the audition. Hey, no, this Astro.
See, that's what I'm talking about. It's that kind of crap.
This Astro Boy, though, is he not? I thought he was like an astronaut, like a space guy, like he goes through space and stuff. Does he not?
He does not.
In my mind, he's like on a rocket ship or something like that. But no, you're saying he's just on Earth fighting crime?
Yes.
Here's I got lots to learn about Astro Boy.
Here's the weird thing about that is that in your mind, you either know about him or you don't.
I'm the one who brought up that he used to be a cartoon, and I thought I saw him hurtling through space at one point, but apparently not. I withdraw the question, Your Honor.
You are a speed bump from hell.
And... Jimmy Fallon, he's not accused of anything. Last night, he made one of his dreams come true. For a long time now, he's been teasing us, taunting us with the possibility of a Saved by the Bell reunion that he'd be orchestrated by Jimmy. He did it last night on his show. They were all there. Mark Paul Gosselaar, Tiffany Thiessen, Elizabeth Berkley, Mario Lopez, even Dennis Haskins, Mr. Belding stopped by. It was couched in the concept that Jimmy Fallon went to Bayside High. And they did it in flashback, and there were all our old friends back together again without Screech and Lisa Turtle because they're insane.
There's that.
Here was a great moment of last night when we find out that Zach and Kelly have been doing the nasty.
Well, on the downside, I'll probably be grounded for life.
But on the plus side, I got Kelly Kapowski pregnant.
Boom. It's funny, as each of them came onto the set, they had recreated the Bayside High locker set.
Right.
And as each one of them came out, it was like a 4-minute ovation. People went crazy in the audience with each and every one of them. And when you watch this thing, it's unbelievable how great they all look. They haven't aged a day.
Wow.
So
except for Screech.
It was fun. Well, Screech was not invited to the party. I don't think he can leave Wisconsin right now because of that lawsuit that's pending.
That whole thing about
that dude.
Christmas Day in a bar.
With his rodeo girlfriend.
She's not a rodeo girlfriend. She's a clown.
She's a party clown.
Party clown.
She has nothing to do with the rodeo. Today's celebrity birthdays. A couple soccer players. Neymar is 23 years old today. And Cristiano Ronaldo is 30 years old. These are all made-up names, right? These people aren't real.
Do you have to buy them both a cake, or can they share a cake, Kevin?
Oh, they don't share.
Oh, they
Cristiano
do
Ronaldo's
share.
Real Madrid. He's the enemy. Come on, you guys know
goodness.
That.
Sure, we all know.
You're ridiculous.
We all know about Madrid, how they play, with their evil nature.
Right. Now you're getting it.
The way they kick that ball, man. Oh, it's mean.
Where they fall
it's
down, mean. Or they flop all over the place and grab their ankles. Darren Criss is 28 years old today. You know him from Glee. Singer Bobby Brown's 46, as is actor Michael Sheen. Duff McKagan, the guitarist, is 51. Laura Linney, also 51 today. Jennifer Jason Leigh is 53. Tim Meadows is 54. And excuse me, actor, director,
stop faking.
Writer Christopher Guest is 67
Rest
years old today.
In peace.
Thank you. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
All right. Tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean Show. Of course, it's Friday, so we have the movie beat. We also have the host of the Grammys, LL Cool J. And right. We're sending Beer Mug today to the Grammy Roundtable.
Oh, awesome.
With a microphone.
Big celebrities, Gar.
Big celebrities are promised.
Yes, they are.
They almost never show up.
No, seriously, come on in. It's going to be Beyonce, a Madonna, right. Ed Sheeran, and AC/DC. You're going to get them all.
And where are any of those people?
Mr. T wants to know if you want to talk about his new breakfast cereal.
Hey, guys, LaToya Jackson's here. You got time for her?
So we've got Beer Mug interviews.
The second
Grammys.
Drummer from Kiss, he's not in it anymore. He's still got the makeup on. He would like to have a conversation with K-Rock.
Hulk Hogan wants to bring his daughter over. She's got an album. That happened. Anyway, that's tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean.